Mike Youngerberg, I'm Senior Director of Product Development and Commercialization for the Minnesota Soybean Program.
Mike, you timed a trip to Washington, D.C. out well as the EPA announced their renewable volume obligation proposal for 2019, and it included an uptick in biodiesel. What did you think of the news?
Well, from what we heard from, you know, conversations with the industry is, welcome the administration's proposal to move the volumes up, after 2 years of basically being flatlined at 2.1 billion, the move to 2.43 is for 2020 is certainly good news. And they also moved up the advanced pool from 4.29 to 4.88, which the biodiesel industry also participates in. So, yes, I think it was a definite recognition that, you know, the industry is capable of producing, and that's a good thing.
You know, I've talked to you before. I've also talked to Doug Whitehead at NBB about the infrastructure that's there, the technology, and the ability of the U.S. to produce biodiesel at increasing levels. You just needed that federal support. And so certainly it looks like the Trump administration believes that things are in place.
Well, and that's very positive. I think the challenging part, though, is it was also a big topic of discussion at the National Biodiesel Board meeting, was the concern over the small refiner exemptions that have been handed out over the past year or two. The estimate that the biodiesel industry has come up with is, you know, we could have lost somewhere between 100 to 275 million gallons of biodiesel blending given those refinery exemptions that were handed out. So there's a real big desire to make sure that that does not continue moving forward. And the industry is going to continue to press that pretty hard with the administration.
Well, and as the biodiesel industry welcomed the increased proposal for the future, also I would think some frustration with the proposal that came out this week, because EPA had an opportunity to make up for some of the lost gallons with those hardship waivers and chose not to. So I would think on one hand you welcome some positive news, on the other hand still some disappointment.
Well, certainly, and this was the EPA's proposal. Now the comment period will be open, from our understanding, through the end of July, and certainly people will be making comments. You know, we will be making comments, National Biodiesel Board, others, on those proposed volumes, and as far as we understand, the decision then would come out sometime at the end of November as to the final, what those final numbers are. So we're going to be working hard to continue to press EPA on those volumes moving forward.
Mike, as you're certainly well aware, agriculture is facing a lot of uncertainty right now. And I know for biodiesel, it's been years of uncertainty with the tax credit. Anything new on that front while you spent some days in D.C.?
Absolutely. That was the other big ticket item of discussions with our congressional folks. As you said, we've been in an on again, off again situation with the tax credit. The effort now is to press Congress for a full dollar per gallon tax credit for 2018 and 2019. And then look for some longer-term permanent tax incentive that, would foster growth within the industry. There was a letter sent to congressional leaders on Monday from quite a group of folks, and including the National Biodiesel Board, groups that include like the Petroleum Marketers Association of the America, Independent Gasoline Marketers, the American Trucking Association, convenience store operators, and others, pressing that the tax credit, a blender's tax credit, which is now the preferred method, would be what they would hope we could move forward in some sort of permanent tax credit over some period of time. There isn't a definite proposal yet, but that was certainly out there. The letter was also sent to Speaker Ryan and a number of the congressional folks over, you know, that there's more effort to extend this tax credit, and it's good for America. So a lot of people being pressed on this issue.
And while I've got you on the phone, Mike, how has the move to B20 gone in Minnesota?
Move has gone very well. While we did have a slight hiccup, I guess, here, from everything I've heard, a lot of even though the waiver people could have went back to blending B10, a number of folks that we've talked to had already booked the gallons and everything else, so a lot of people kept blending, you know, at the B20 level, and everybody should be back up here, on July 1. So while it was a little hiccup, everything else seemed to be going along just very smoothly. So it's good.
Anything else on B20 or the trip to D.C. this week that you want to talk about?
Well, I think the one, that's kind of related to the tax credit piece, for a while, the industry had been pushing for changing it from a blender's credit to a producer credit, and mainly the reason for that was a trade issue. We certainly had the Argentinians and the Indonesians basically dumping biodiesel into the U.S. market somewhere in the neighborhood of nearly a billion gallons, and the NBB and others filed the trade case, and as you probably saw, some time ago, that they have imposed now countervailing duties, and imports have basically dropped, off and to zero, and the figures were from January in 2017 and January 2018. They're now the industry actually performed. We had a 31% increase, in those first quarters from last year's first quarter to this year's first quarter, of about 31%. So the industry can perform, and given the opportunity that we don't have to battle imports and other things, it definitely is giving the U.S. biodiesel industry a shot in the arm.